Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sharp darts, spitting masters. Spitting darts faster. Shut up, I'm the driver, you're the passenger. Welcome to Ramble Reacts. I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Lukey, how are you doing? We've had a full complement, aka 3 football matches in the Premier League, in the Barclays tonight. It's been a fun evening of football, hasn't it?
Luke and Pete Show takeover, baby.
It is a Luke and Pete Show takeover. If you don't like us talking about football, just listen to the Luke and Pete Show, which is out pretty much now as well. We'll be talking about
batteries. I'm not sure how much football's going to be in this one, to be honest.
it's a very good point.
It's been a great night of football. It's been a classic night of Premier League action, mate. Absolutely. And for once, the showpiece game that I know that all the games were shown, but the showpiece kind of, you know, headline act, if you like, actually delivered an interesting game, a kind of exciting game, and plenty of goals. And for that, we can be thankful, because you don't want to get yourself in these kind of midweek, when games are happening at the same time type thing. You can easily, and lots of listeners will be able to relate to this, you can easily get into a situation where you choose your game.
Yeah.
And nothing happens, and you start getting updates, and you start flicking around, and all you know, before you know it, you've skillfully missed every single goal of the evening, because you keep flicking between different games. I stuck with Liverpool-Chelsea. I'm pleased I did. I know the other stuff was good, and maybe we'll touch on that a bit later, but Liverpool 4, Chelsea 1 was a good game, and well worth 2 hours of my time.
It certainly was, and I think it was a very one-sided match, but for about 5 minutes, had things gone slightly different in the last 20, Chelsea possibly could have been gunning for an equaliser before, you know, Luis Diaz murdered himself into the box to murder the ball at the net to send the Chelsea fans home murdered. It was incredible.
He swallowed the spire to catch the fly. That's what that sounded like. I felt like it was a really one side of the fair for the most part, as you said, bar the occasional foray that Chelsea took into the Liverpool box to try and win a penalty, which they should have had both times, but both times the referees said no thanks very much, you're not having them, and that will give Chelsea fans something to cling to, right? I've seen all sorts of stuff from Chelsea fans recently on the old Twitter box, it's
good
been
stuff.
Along the lines
good,
of
good stuff on there. The sort of thing that Musk wants up there, I imagine, with the Chelsea fans, it's kind of their vibe in it.
if you really like X, get involved with Chelsea X because you'll like it even more. That's all I'll say. But you've got Chelsea fans selecting very specific runs of games to make them look like the form team in the Premier League, completely ignoring like basically saying that if you go for the last five games before the Liverpool game we've just seen and not look at the teams that they've played against, Chelsea are technically, if you squint and look around the corner of the form team in the Premier League, they didn't bloody look like it tonight, did they? They did not look like it tonight.
They really didn't, and it was pretty safe going for Liverpool. Darwin Nunez got brought off after hitting the woodwork four times, the most any player has done in the Premier League since like 2003 or something like that. I mean, it's incredible.
Since I started looking for that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the man hits aluminium, Luke. There's no two ways about it.
It reminded me of that scene in White Men Can't Jump when Woody Harris has taken the piss out of all the players who aren't as good as him for hitting the rim with their shots.
Yes, okay, right.
And every time they do it, he's going clang, clang, like that, shouting at them.
Did you know that, Luke, that FIFA allows you to use wood, even in 2024, allows you to use wood, metal, or some other approved material for your goalposts?
Oh, what are the approved materials? I've got to hear that.
Exactly. I want to know. Carbon fibre?
What's it?
Asbestos? I don't know. Like, I just want to
know. What's it when it's not raining?
What? Can you imagine that noise? If you hit a football into a what's it the size of a goalpost. I would love that. I think he'd be like...
Yeah.
So there you go.
Raining like cheesy orange dust onto the keeper.
Yeah, exactly. I just think that we would like to see... I mean, there's so many like YouTube kind of videos where they'll test different footballs, different football gloves, different skills and stuff. Why is nobody testing out post materials? Get it done, copyright.
I don't actually mind the material. What I am going to need is for it to be round. Remember when posts used to be square?
Square, yeah, yeah. Because the ball would sort of come off at really weird angles and stuff. And I don't like that sort of thing.
Speaking of Darwin Nunez, like his brain,
we were briefly
kind of. He's an amazing football player, but his brain has been replaced by like a Wheel of Fortune.
It is a bit magic eight ball, isn't it? And the outlook is always cloudy.
Yeah, it spins, and where it stops, who knows? Like some of those, I've never seen a play like you say. He's hit the woodwork four times in the same game. Mm. Never really been done before that we know of since records began for this kind of stuff.
The approved material work.
He's sometimes he goes, oh, he's done well to hit the post from there, and sometimes it's a penalty.
He's done bad to hit the post from there.
Yeah, how have you conspired to do that from there? It's very, very exciting to watch. I think if you were I'm not a Liverpool fan, but if I was, I think I would be, wow, he's capable of such amazing improvisation, and wow, he takes up amazing positions, and he's a brilliant athlete, and wow, I am pissed off with him.
I mean, it's like I'll always use the example of a man doing karate kicks on some waste ground. That's improvisation, and so is jazz. But one is respected and one isn't. And Darwin Nunez does both every single match.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
If you're up on the stage at Ronnie Scott's, you get more kudos.
Respect.
Yeah, than you are if you're down
Someone's going to buy you a drink. If you're doing that on some waste ground, someone's going to take the drink away from you. So it's kind of, it's difficult.
So is he like a kind of, you know, a free jazz trumpeter? Not really, more of an Isle of Dogs with his top off and two planks of wood over his shoulder type improviser.
He does own a trumpet though. He does own a trumpet.
But here's the thing. So I would say that despite his quality, he is absolutely the wrong person to be... for example, taking a penalty because he is so instinctive. He's just such an instinctive player. And if you give him too much time, it may well work out okay. But it feels to me I don't know if you remember, but the very kind of first few minutes, he had this amazing kind of improvised chance. Mm. And you were like, fucking hell, he's going to be on it today. But you don't ever feel fully confident he's going to do it. And the thing is, I'm saying that about him, but he's not had a terrible goal return this season. I mean, he's scored a good amount of goals in the Premier League. I think he's got for club and country, or just for club maybe, I think he's got double figures for goals this season. I mean, he's still settling into a far better quality league than the league he came from. So even with that taken into account, he could have like really, really good numbers. And I think maybe at some point it's just going to click and he's going to fly. But what a player, though. What a player to kind of tear tear the opposition defenders around and to really drag them out of position. He kind of does all that stuff really well, and that shouldn't be forgotten just because he's so chaotic.
But if you're a coach at Liverpool and you're sort of saying, look, to the young players who are coming through, and I think Klopp's legacy is all going to be about how many players he managed to get on the field. Lee Clark's son was there, for crying out loud.
Oh, that really piqued your interest, because I get the impression
I was sat with Sammy Amiobi the dog, another a Newcastle Academy player, obviously, and we both sat up at the very idea of a man who looks like Lee Clark coming onto the field.
At one point, Newcastle's kind of infrastructure in the academy was so bad, it wasn't that far away from players' dogs being involved.
I wouldn't put it past them.
You say
honest,
that, but yeah. that's Shohei Ranieri's son. That's a dog.
That is a dog.
But he's legally the owner and provider for that dog.
Getting that bin based ice bath. I would say that, like, if you are a coach at Liverpool and you are working with someone like Lee Clarkson, and you're sort of saying, look to the professionals at the top of their game playing for the first team at Liverpool and basically copy what they do. Do they really want to be copying Darwin Nunez's performances?
Yeah, it just seems so instinctive and so God-given, and it's just a lot of talent. And I'm sure he works really hard. I'm sure he's a great athlete and a great kind of trainer and all the rest of it. It's just he's just got that X factor about him. He's got like almost like a Berbatov X factor, but he's just 100 mile an hour quicker and a much better athlete.
Fewer tabs.
And obviously, you know, it's actually a fairly shit comparison because Berbatov's probably technically better than most players. But I thought the game was a good game. I thought that Chelsea kind of papered over quite a lot of cracks with these penalty shouts and with the fact that, you know, it's a fairly end-to-end opening without Chelsea really fashioning any chances. But when you look at it, if you are going to say things like, well, Chelsea could have done this and could have had that, you then really need to look at the fact that Darwin Nunez probably should have scored about 6 goals and Liverpool could have, you know, got to double figures. They had 28 shots and 13 of those were on target. So, I mean, they kind of blew Chelsea out of the water, really. And I think the reason that's interesting is because, you know, we know really what Liverpool are, and we're still finding out what Chelsea are. And I think they are in big, big danger now of just being, you know, a moneyed mid-table team. And there's not really... I mean, the biggest insult you could probably pay to Chelsea at the moment, as we sit here now, even off the back of that defeat, is that no one really kind of talks about them much. They don't really own a narrative that they used to, like, a good few years ago. They suffered a lot from Man City, Liverpool, and lately Arsenal being very good.
Fans aren't visible. The fans used to be way more visible for me. You used to see a lot more shirts around, to be honest.
Yeah, and I wonder whether, like, obviously Man United have been a car crash and taken up endless column inches, obviously sucked a lot of the oxygen out as well. But unless it's something on them spending like mad money, like it was this time a year ago, or making kind of weird decisions at board level or whatever, they just seem miles and miles off it. And I would also add this, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Liverpool Chelsea was a showpiece. Arguably the showpiece rivalry game in the Premier League. They had a really kind of good, fierce rivalry going for a while, and they just dropped off massively since then. They're kind of miles away from that, I would say.
Well, a word for Castledirk's Conor Bradley, Luke. Is this why Klopp's leaving? Because he has to make decisions about getting him on the field when he's got players
I just can't deal with it. I can't do it.
it's too much. It's daddy or chips, and I just want both of them.
Yeah. Never choose between daddy or chips, though, right? Possibly
maybe
the most
daddy can eat all
of the
chips, and then fundamentally you are choosing the same thing if you choose daddy. So
wasn't that such an awful advert though for dads everywhere?
Daddy or chips. I don't know. I'm not a dad. Wasn't a dad then, so I'll tell you when I'm a dad.
But the thing is, it's you know, after all this amazing stuff your dad does, you love chips so much, you still prefer chips to your dad. I just think it's a bit mean. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked again.
What have you got against chips? They're delicious.
They are great.
They'll never let you down. Daddy will let you down.
Sorry, you're telling me this. Excuse me.
Our daddies will let us down, Luke, but chips will never let us down.
I think Conor Bradley looks amazing. I think it's got to the point where they've got to get him in the team. I know that there's, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold has been out of the side, and he can play. They've experimented with him in a couple of different positions, and he can be flexible and play slightly, you know, different parts of the field. But the way Bradley was tonight, I mean, Ali McCoy gave him man of the match. I thought rightly so. I thought he was just really, really fucking good. The third goal, for example, was great. from Bradley. But then it's a great example of what I just said earlier about the difference between where Liverpool are and where Chelsea are. You know, Badiashile, admittedly, playing a bit out of position, but he gets nowhere near Bradley. I mean, essentially, Badiashile's come into that club for 40 million quid.
You know,
Liverpool produced Bradley through their academy. Bradley goes way past Badiashile, gets nowhere near him, doesn't even really make an attempt to stop the cross. I mean, and if you're not going to blame Badiashile for that because he's a young player still learning his trade and playing out of position, then you have really got to ask questions of the Chelsea kind of situation because, you know, they've spent so much money, yet they still seem so short in certain positions.
Mm.
I could get on board with the idea that Ben Chilwell, who... has had really serious injury problems. I think it kind of gets to the point now where you wonder if he's ever going to get back to it. I know he's only 27, but he's missed so much football. He looks so poor tonight. I mean, he had a problem with the, I think it was the second goal, he got the ball away, got caught out of position a number of times, had to get, I mean, I don't know if he's dragged off at halftime because he still was feeling something or whether he just had such a bad night at the office they want to take him out of the firing line. And he was by no means the poor, you know, the only poor performer for Chelsea. But it just feels like they're still a bit all over the place and getting the runaround from a kind of academy player who's come through and still learning this trade, but looks really exciting. The difference there, Pete, in my view, is that Liverpool are creating an environment for young players to really flourish and really, you know, perform. He took his goal really well as well. It was just a complete performance from him, really. And from a player so young, he just seems like he'd be very exciting for a very long time, provided, as you've kind of alluded to there, he's not kind of stymied in this development because he can't get in the team. I mean, he's definitely good enough in my view.
Yeah, and I think the final goal for me, and I mentioned it briefly earlier on, Luis Diaz, just the way he gets into the box and the defender just hasn't noticed that he's
Badiashile again. Badiashile again.
Dinner
moneyed all over the fucking place.
And you just sort of go like, that kind of summed up the entire performance of Liverpool. They were just at the races. They were intense. They wanted it. And Chelsea just looked like a lot of players, a lot of, you know, admittedly talented individual players, but every single player on that field, you imagine if an offer came in tomorrow, and there might be, that they would be out of the door because that's what Chelsea are. They're a weird club that have very much enjoyed the machinations of the fax machine and the boardroom.
Is it still a fax machine, do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, it's got to be, aren't there? It's just the whole kind of turbo fax. Wasn't there a big thing with Messi's turbo fax kind of wanting...
It's the first time I've ever heard turbo fax, and I think out of The Athletic did about 3,000 words on what it was.
I seem to recall it, yeah. I mean, you were surprised, Luke, that Conor Gallagher, Chelsea's FFP duel in the cash converters was playing. What if his hamstring pops? What if he finds himself on the...
A really odd situation, chiefly because, you know, he's been heavily linked with Spurs. Spurs won him. And then you look at what, essentially, really between the lines, what's probably happened is Spurs have nickel and dime Chelsea for the entire window.
Yeah.
Chelsea have got bored of it. Pochettino probably doesn't want to lose him because he keeps picking him. Mm. And he's played as captain, hasn't he, on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
Yet the board maybe have other ideas, but they don't want to let him go for a short amount of money. And then you know, Spurs will make an offer formally and publicly tomorrow so they can show their fans they're trying. And it may not happen, but I thought it was really strange that he played. I thought before the game, if he plays tonight, he's not going to go.
Mm.
We'll see. I mean, he did play tonight, kind of, and we'll see what develops there. But you know, it's a strange situation. I just thought Chelsea were just really, really poor. I know it's easy to be beaten at Anfield, and Liverpool are a good team. But I think there's ways of going about it and perhaps that wasn't the right way.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my dube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
What did you think of the two Chelsea penalty appeals? I thought that I genuinely, despite what I've said about them, and I've been quite negative about them tonight, but I actually think both of those should have been penalties. Now, I can't see why VAR didn't intervene. They'll say something about how it didn't hit the threshold and it wasn't clear and obvious or whatever, but to me, they were two penalties.
I think the penalty in the second half, I think the second one, Nkunku into the box, should have been a penalty. I don't know what they're looking at. I just genuinely don't believe that they should call themselves a force for applying the laws of the game. I just can't. I'm watching that and I'm just like, and especially it came at a time when Chelsea had obviously just scored, and Nkunku's goal was a really good goal, like found space, the way he found
he's a really good player in a
sea of defenders and stuff, and you, it'll get lost in the mix because of obviously, you know, they lost 4-1, but I thought it was a real shame. So hopefully Nkunku will burn off a DVD of that and stick it in his in-car stereo. But yeah, you're right. I don't know how you feel about it, but certainly the second one I think was an atrocious bit of refereeing.
They seem to get caught between two stools, the officials, because the referees, in my view, clearly err on the side of caution because they feel that VAR's a safety net. Even if it's subconsciously, they have that there. And then you get caught between these two stools because then the VAR will go, well, it doesn't really meet the threshold of clear and obvious, so we're not going to do anything about it. But then on some decisions, they're straight in there. Mm. Like a rat up a drain pipe. Mm. You can't stop them. So it is really odd to understand. What I find odd about it as well is that, you know, the kind of natural rhythms of watching a football match, and VAR is meant now that, for example, and it's a real shame in the case of, say, someone like Conor Bradley, who scores his first goal for Liverpool, it's a beauty. He can't really fully 100% celebrate because he doesn't know if it's going to be an infringement. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you gear yourself up for that infringement as a viewer because you're so used to it now. And then when it doesn't come, it's quite surprising. And it really manifests itself when you go and watch like a lower league game or you go to a non-league game or whatever and someone scores and it's a great goal. You're like, fuck it out. Yeah, oh yeah, there's no VAR. Brilliant. Yay.
Yeah.
Like, it's it really, means more, it just makes the viewing experience quite a lot different to what it used to be like. I enjoyed the game. I thought it was good. I thought, Chelsea got a long way to go. It's hard for, I mean, I guess what they've got to hide behind is the idea that they're still kind of in development, I suppose. I mean, I was watching the game and had the Patreon, the Ramble Discord open, which is available for Patreon subscribers. And a few of the lads on there were saying that, you know, Chelsea just look like they met in the car park before the game, every single game. And I know they've been in decent enough form
to
recently.
Here and there, yeah.
Yeah, but if you look at the teams they've played against, I mean, it's, you know, it's Yeah, it's Middlesbrough in the League Cup. It's, you know, a narrow win over Fulham. It's Preston in the FA Cup. It's a narrow win over Luton. You know, it's a win over Sheffield United, who are just historically terrible. You know, it's that kind of stuff.
Thin gruel. As you
I think it's pretty thin gruel, actually. Like a narrow win at home over Crystal Palace. You know, they're not really pulling up any trees. And they go to a team who are a genuine contender that you think, okay, right, this will be a real good measure of where Chelsea are at. And they just get their pants pulled down like over and over again. Liverpool were attacking at will. It was like, it was relentless stuff, really, at times. Liverpool just moved through the gears and asked questions over and over again. And Chelsea had no real answer for it. And I think that penalty that Liverpool had, that Nunez hits the post on, if they score that, I mean, that's before half time. The game's over after 40 odd minutes. You know, it's done. It's genuinely done. So, yeah, that's basically how I see it.
Well, on Monday, we mentioned that Liverpool are filming an all or nothing, fly on the wall documentary series of Jurgen Klopp's final season. If you are sitting down to watch that on your Netflixes or your Amazons of this world, in a couple of years' time, or maybe just 6 months' time, depending on how long it takes. What would you be looking forward to be seeing after this match? Jurgen Klopp saying, thanks, lads. I'm not really leaving. I'm just doing this to G everyone up, and then I'm going to continue my work as Liverpool manager. Or would you want him to sort of go, oh, I'm going to miss days like this. This is really fun.
You know, he said in 2019 that if Liverpool put a video out of me in that situation, as in the club documentary, I would leave the club.
Do you reckon that's what's happened then? They've finally.
Well, I think
they've
noticed
cameras
that
on the lawn.
Well, now he said he's leaving.
We can do it now. Yeah, what
he's
are you
got
gonna
no,
do
he's
leave?
Got no card to play. I do like those. I find myself like drawn to those type of documentaries.
Oh, the Arteta head heart thing was like that kept me warm for months.
But those the top level ones are quite sanitised, aren't they?
Yes, of course they are. I mean, there is nothing. I mean, the Newcastle United one is the worst of the worst for obvious reasons. It's a sports washing piff posse exercise. But I mean,
Amanda Staveley in the car.
Exactly. Yeah.
They just put like a kind of like quite dramatic soundtrack behind it.
Yeah,
and try and dramatise things that are actually the most boring and sickening things that could ever happen.
Yeah, just trying to, you know, offload Jeff Hendrick or something.
the best ones, Pete, in my view, have been Sunderland Till I Die slightly different reasons.
Because it's tragic.
No, but it's all.
And there's a lot of characters there that they are an unprofessional. They were at that point an unprofessional club, and to be honest, they're probably in a better state than they are, because they're only going in one direction there then, but now at least they've got some young players to hang on who are not on a load of money. So at least
no, I know what you mean, but it's also what's and all. Like they're so the people who are running the club at the time are so incompetent they couldn't even fucking veto stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And then the one after that that's good is Welcome to Wrexham is good for again a slightly different reason. That's like it's made by professionals from Hollywood, so it's actually fucking good to watch. Mm. And I'm not saying it's not. Sanitised a bit, and it's not PR driven because it is, but they have done an awful lot of good for that town. So like it's kind of undeniable, really. I think
it's romantic and unromantic at the same time. And they spent an ungodly amount of money for that league.
But that's what every club would
want in that position. You would imagine.
Yeah, especially a club of that size. Speaking of box office draws, by the way, did you see John Terry in among the Chelsea fans?
I didn't actually. Was he just kind of just hanging out on the?
And it follows. Obviously, Alan Shearer doing it at Craven Cottage with the Newcastle fans. I know a lot of people like that kind of stuff, but I actually find it quite cynical.
I do as well. If you are as well known as JT or Alan Shearer, I completely agree.
Just doing it to get a ruffle, right? Just doing it to get everyone to love you.
Yeah, and certainly for Alan Shearer, obviously a lot of his commentary and podcast obligations will be down here in that there London, so it's not much of a trip, is it?
But the thing is, you're not. I know that you can support a club in that position, and obviously John Terry undeniably supports Chelsea, and Alan Shearer undeniably supports Newcastle, but they're not quote unquote fans, are they? So
no,
they're not going. Even if they go among the crowd, they're not going to get the same experience that their fans get, because they just didn't get fucking bothered the whole time.
Yeah.
So
you're not watching. You're not watching the match.
It just seems like you're doing it to show what a great bloke you are.
Completely agree.
Yeah, and we know. Like, I know for a fact that John Terry isn't a great bloke. It's not going to wash with me.
It's been proved repeatedly. Yeah. Elsewhere tonight, Man City eased past Burnley 3-1 to keep touch with Liverpool at the top of the table. They have an aggregate score, get this, Luke, 46-2 in their last 13 games against Burnley. Can Man City be your bogey team? Is that allowed in 2024?
I think it'd be a pretty packed list if it was.
Yeah, I
think so. I didn't watch the game because I was watching the Liverpool-Chelsea game. It was pretty much done and dusted like fairly early on, wasn't it? Mm. I mean, Julian Alvarez did his thing. Kevin De Bruyne did his thing. You know, after 20 minutes or whatever it was, it was done. And I think the third goal was around half time.
Yeah, indeed. There's a van parked outside my house and it's like a painter decorator, I think. And it's KBD. And every time I walk past it, I think, Kevin Bedoin.
What does it stand Kevin for Bedoin in reality, though?
I don't know. It's like, I think it's something, some kind of roofing or decorators company. But I always think, Kevin Bedoin. Kevin Bedoin. Elsewhere. A thrilling denouement to the Spurs-Brentford match. Spurs 3, Brentford 2 at White Hart Lane. The Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, is that what we're calling it? Sorry, I completely forgot where Spurs play football. I'm sports director at Newcastle United at St. Jesus Park, personally. But it was the result that took Spurs into the top four, I do believe. All smiles between the Neil Maupays and James Maddison's of this world. After Maupay opened the scoring for Brentford, him and Ivan Toney copied the dart celebration that Jay Mads does after scoring. And James Maddison wasn't very happy about it. He put his arm round Maupay and as if to sort of go, hey, I'm the big dog here. But he's not the big dog. He's James Maddison. And Maupay went, get to fuck, and then tried to attack him. It was great.
Like, you don't remember the tagline for the film Alien vs. Predator?
Whoever wins, we lose?
Yes, they're one of the best taglines in Hollywood history. Whoever wins, we lose. That's how I feel when I see a James Maddison, Neil Maupay banter off. Whoever wins, all of us have lost something there.
Yeah, it makes me sad inside, too.
I did like it when Maddison said afterwards, I told Neil Maupay that he doesn't score enough goals to have his own celebration, so he had to steal mine. Like, it's not even a good celebration, is it?
No, it's not. And I hate him when he does it. I hate him with every fibre of my being. I don't like seeing it. I think it's shit. I think I'm not a fan of the darts. Maybe if I went to the darts and got drunk and waved a little card around with something offensive on it, I would enjoy it. Or
what would you put on the card?
Man or something. Has anyone thought of playing snooker? I don't know. I'm not a big darts guy. Although, no. Yeah.
Just put that on it.
I'm
not a big darts guy. And just wave it. Every time there's 180, I reckon you should do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You get filled in by some coked up group from fucking Essex.
Absolute big lad. Do you like the celebration? Are you a fan of him when he does that?
Not really. The only thing good to come out of all this is the fact that some journalist, literally as we're recording this right now,
we'll be having to write about it.
Some journalists will stick their head above the parapet and try and make a funny joke about it to Ange Postecoglou, who will absolutely eviscerate them and everyone will laugh and it will go viral on the internet tomorrow. That's the only good thing to come out of all this stuff. I also like how excited Brennan Johnson was to score and then be able to do the piss take of the piss take to flip
exactly. He was really excited. Obviously, he was trying to defend the honour of his teammate, but another reading of that situation was that Brennan Johnson was just taking the piss out of Maddison again.
Yeah,
which is
a
funnier reading of it, I think.
Could have been. Neil Maupay is a professional shithouse. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
He is, yeah. Ivan Toney was at his very best in this match as well. I did see quite a lot of this match.
The way Ivan Toney is as well, like he's talking about wanting to leave even though Brentford has stood by him for so long. I've said my piece about that a week or two ago. But he obviously scored tonight as well, and who knows what's going to happen tomorrow with him. I mean, presumably nothing, but we don't know. So it's kind of an interesting affair all around. I'll just add, I caught a bit of this game and I was super impressed. I know this is a bit boring for people who don't like Spurs. I don't particularly like or dislike Spurs, but I do like Ange Postecoglou. I think he's a real breath of fresh air in the Premier League, and I think he's actually a really interesting and super competent manager as well. And I was interested to see that in the first half, Spurs seemed really flat. Then he made a couple of changes, switched it up a bit, and then Spurs scored 3 goals in 8 minutes just after half-time, basically,
yeah,
and took the game away from Brentford. And I think that is, I mean, maybe coincidence, maybe a bit of luck. You know, you'd rather have a lucky general than a good one and all that, but it happened, you know, and he made the changes, he affected the game, and they came out with a win in a really crucial game where they needed a positive result to kind of keep touch with everything else that's going on. It's a big couple of days for them because, of course, Aston Villa lost and now they've been able to get a win. If they had followed up what Aston Villa did yesterday by having a shitty result against Brentford, it would have been very deflating.
Yeah, I do like watching this Spurs side, though.
And they're great to watch. They really are.
Well, and when he makes the changes, it is a little bit like a kaleidoscope. Like, you don't know exactly how this is going to go. It's going to go a million different ways. It's fractal football. Every little kind of triangular pass could be chaotic, it could be excellent, or they could concede. And it's so much more exciting than anything that has been experienced at the White Hart Lane at St James's Park over the past few seasons. It really has been a breath of fresh air, for good and bad, I think.
It's fractal football. One of my good pals is a Spurs fan, and I go to watch them quite a bit, which is why I go there quite a bit. And there were some really, really turgid fucking times under Conte and Mourinho. And I think that, you know, it's an old cliche, but I do think for a time, I do think some Spurs fans are pretty deluded, actually, but for a time, they will accept just having a great old fucking knees up and watching a good game of football and winning some big showpiece games and forcing their way into the top four. And they'd be obviously desperate to win a cup or something. But I don't think they're that unrealistic, a lot of them. And as long as Ange keeps them playing this kind of entertaining stuff and keeps them guessing and keeps doing actually really kind of straightforward, you know, non-management speak press conferences from like a really straight talking Australian who looks like he likes to pound beers, people are going to be happy with that, you know. And I'm also, for as an outsider looking in, I'm also fairly happy with that as
also
well.
Also very happy with that. I tell you, for one, the Spurs fans probably wouldn't have been happy with Norgaard's performances. Or certainly...
Yeah, you're talking about that. Apparently it was a vicious assault after vicious assault, wasn't it?
He was, like, after his yellow, he spent the rest of the match screaming at the referee, committing about 7 fouls, the last of which was like a pretty severe body check for a professional foul on Maddison. It was an atrocious bit of refereeing, to be honest. Norgaard,
what do you reckon happened?
I have no idea, but Norgaard was, every time Brentford had a chance, Norgaard was involved at some point. And I was like, the narrative is just clear. Norgaard's going to score, or he's going to be involved in the equaliser. Yeah, yeah. It was very bizarre stuff. I mean, right at the death, Brentford's Baptiste, almost in the 6-yard box, just sort of side-foots it over. He really needed to get on target. But again, it was a really, really fun end to the match. And Richarlison, we'll touch on him very, very briefly. He's now the highest scoring Brazilian in the top 5 European leagues this season. A stat that, you keep looking at it, looks less impressive the more you look at it. But what team I'm not saying he would move in the January transfer window, but if someone's going to be airdropping, that's when you jump out of a plane. That's allowed, isn't it?
Is that airdropping? Is when you send a photo to someone through an Apple product.
But when you parachute, do you not airdrop? It doesn't matter. Parachuted a player like Richarlison on the form he is in at the moment, playing with a smile on his face, he's... what team in the Premier League couldn't do with like quite a disciplined grafter in the form that he is at the moment? And as I said, you know, the highest scoring Brazilian in the top 5 European leagues, he's looking really good, and that's got to be a massive kind of like tick in the wins ledger for Ange. He looks like a completely different player to his touch at the start of the season was atrocious, balls would just bounce off him, and now he just looks like he can cope with any ball, any height, any speed, and at any time.
And it's also a crucial thing because obviously they lost Harry Kane, right? And if you're looking at, you know, it's quite an interesting point of discussion because you're talking about clubs that would want him, and you know, it's really valuable to have that kind of thing. And he's Brazilian. You know, I know he scored against Nottingham Forest, but like, Richarlison's got double the amount of Premier League goals this season than Gabriel Jesus has, who plays down the road and is also Brazilian and also works his bollocks off. But really doesn't contribute the amount of goals that Arsenal kind of need at the moment. So it makes it even more interesting, I think. He's been in good form. He's been playing well. I think it's taken him a very, very long time to settle. He's talked a lot about how difficult emotionally and mentally he's found it when he's come up short in front of goal. And yeah, you'd have to be pretty hard. I mean, I know I've taken the piss out of him over and over again on the show, but you know, that's just part of the job. you'd have to be a hard heart indeed not to kind of feel from a bit. He's still got somewhere to go to pick up his goal scoring record overall in Spurs to bring it up to speed, because, you know, it was pitiful last season. I mean, it really was pitiful. But he's already way, way ahead of that in far fewer games. So maybe he's on his way, you know.
Well, they reckon that the most prolific strikers, your ones at the top of the tree, like Haaland and stuff, they are more adept at shooting first time rather than taking two or three touches. And Richarlison is right at the top of that list. He rarely takes more than two touches before he dispatches a shot. And therefore, his, I presume, his like XG is like a lot higher than, I think it's three times higher than Jesus, who you mentioned there.
Right.
So maybe it is just about confidence and, you know, feeling like you could whack it as hard as you can as soon as you get it, really.
And it's also not easy, is it, to be like, right, you're basically now going to have to occupy a role replacing probably this club's best ever player. And you're going to have to do it, prolifically. I know he can play off the left as well, but he's mostly played through the centre this season. And to be fair, I mean, not many players get to Kane numbers, but he is doing it. I mean, he's got a good amount of goals. He's got, for club and country this season, he's got 12
Eight
goals.
Or nine?
It's 12, not terrible.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah. I wish him nothing but the best, Peter.
Yeah.
And I think I'll leave it there.
Yeah, well, chuck that. He'll probably chuck that flare into the crowd and get banned for a few matches at the weekend. That's about it for us on Ramble Reacts. Thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you for joining us all here at the Football Ramble. Join us on Friday for the preview show, where we'll be looking ahead to Liverpool's title clash with Arsenal and reacting to tomorrow night's Premier League action. There's more of it. It never stops on Jules Breach's TNT. And in the meantime, you can find us on X, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble, and you can subscribe on Spotify. Luke, we'll see you soon.
See you later.
This is the Luke and Pete show if you want. That's out as well. That's out.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.